With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, man. I love Rob Kelly.
We know how Jay Gruden feels about Rob Kelly. How much a part of the running game problem is he? I think it's hard to put really much, if any, of the preseason issues on him because he has had no room to operate. He has gotten hit in the backfield. I would be willing to bet you more than any other ball carrier in the National Football League this preseason.
Yeah, I mean, it's anecdotal, but I buy it. I'm somebody, by the way, who thinks that the replacement level running back, NFL caliber running back, is beyond a dime a dozen. I've seen Quinton Ganther average more than 4 yards per carry. Keelan Williams did it. Ryan Terrain did it. Ran for 745 yards. I think it's a systemic thing. There are a few great running backs who make a lot of systems way, way better. If you don't have one of those, I think everybody here is fine. Running backs are fine. I think running back is like 1/1000th of it. And I know coaches always
look. The Redskins have been trying to get by that way for the last 3 years, and they've got nothing to show for
it. And it hasn't worked. That's why I think it's. I really believe that's why I said even if they took Dalvin Cook or one of these other guys running back in the first round, I thought it'd be a waste because you're. It's like the Jaguars. I think wasted a pick on Leonard Fournette. They're not going to be able to run the ball. He's going to be a great, talented running back as a battering ram into defensive tackles.
I'll bet you they'll run it better than they would if they had Rob Kelly. Now, the question is that worth it? And one of the questions we posed was how much more do they have to run and how much more effectively do they have to be than last year? Look, if they were a 1 out of a 10, 1 to 10 scale, they were a 1 against the Giants week 17 or against the Panthers week 15 when Rob Kelly averaged less than 1 yards per carry. If they were 1 out of 10 on that day, I think they've probably got to be a 4 or 5 out of 10. I'm not saying they've got to be good, but they have to run it well enough to just keep defenses off balance. You have to run it well enough to give yourself the option on second down to call another running play.
Mm-hmm.
If it's second and beyond 8, you have to throw it there. And now, if it's incomplete, you have to throw it on third down.
Yes.
So essentially and effectively, if I'm a defender, I've known on all 3 plays if you're running it or throwing it. That's the opposite of how I play good offense or how I worry about playing bad defense.
There are going to be days that it doesn't matter. And there were a lot of days for this offense because as well as they've passed the ball over the last 2 years where it doesn't matter how you run, your offense is going to move and put up points anyway. It's like think of a Major League pitcher. Think of a Cy Young Award caliber pitcher like Max Scherzer. There are going to be days where his changeup isn't great. How do you get me 21 outs? How do you get me through 7 innings? You got to figure something else out. There are going to be days like against the Carolina Panthers, the Giants who play a certain kind of coverage, a certain kind of way, where the passing game may not be aces. It may not be great. You may not be unstoppable that day. What else is in your bag? Do you have that second pitch? I don't need it down and down. You don't have to run for 230 yards. Look what that got the Cleveland Browns and the Buffalo Bills, two of the best rushing offenses in the league last year. Who cares? I don't need you to be that. I need you to be adequate. I need you to have that extra thing in your bag if you want to go to where we want them to go.
I've added a football now to me standing up. I'm holding and kind of like keeping a football like I'm Matt Jones trying not to fumble in my hands at all times.
You're so fidgety.
Yeah, I'm a lot of fidgety.
How fidgety you are is uncomfortable.
But you're doing well with it. Overall, am I distracting you? Has it been a pleasure working with me? What would you say so far?
It is distracting.
Okay.
It is. I mean, we're just being honest.
Yeah.
It's distracting.
But overall, you're enjoying the
day. Yeah, I'm trying to be a pro in here. To be a pro.
Let's go to Dan in Fairfax on Grant and Danny. Let's go rapid fire and get as many of you in who have been waiting as possible. Dan, what's up?
I hope to finally meet you guys on Saturday at Whitlow's.
Ooh, you're coming out to the summer dress party. Good.
I'm gonna be drunk, Dan.
Danny, you got it going on, dude. So I hope you get in a better mood.
Thank you, pal.
And I love your pull as far as Ryan Terrain. I used to love that dude. It is frustrating. The offense is too predictable, and I'm not an expert by any stretch. But the wide receivers need to block better, and the play calling—they need to have more ingenuity on the play calling. Chris Thompson is a good blocker, but I'm not sure about Matt Jones and P. Ryan and Kelly. And I agree that Lovell and Sheriff haven't been very good this year. Last week, I thought they should set up the run with the pass. But if they do run, I would run behind All-Pro Trent Williams and have Terrell Pryor blocking on that side. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it, Dan. I'm not worried about the play calling yet because it's so vanilla that you're not using some of your best stuff, as Kirk Cousins told us when he was in studio with us this weekend. Jimmy's in Aldi. How are you?
Don't touch Jimmy.
Hey, doing great, buddy. How you guys doing?
What's up, bud?
Well,
here's my deal. Like everybody else has said, they're way too predictable on the running game. It's almost like they just want to kind of, you know, say we're going to run, and they don't really try that hard because, I mean, every time they run, I knew for a fact on 4th and 1 on their last preseason game, I told my brother, I was like, watch, they're going to run right up the middle. It's so predictable. They had the lineup for it, and they did that. So the teams know when they're going to run. It's just too, like the Patriots, they need to spread things out and then run the ball when they spread things out.
Well, so I agree with you 1,000% for regular season stuff. This has long been a pet peeve of mine, that the dumbest thing coaches routinely do, and nobody questions it, are the 11-on-11 pushing contests that happen in limited space. Space is at a premium when you're trying to gain small amounts of yards. Chip Kelly's offensive philosophy figured that out. Bill Belichick figured out a long time ago. And so does everybody that's better than average in Madden. They figured that out forever ago. But for preseason stuff, I don't mind them going for a pushing contest because that's great tape. That's great evaluation because all you're doing is, can you move the man in front of you? Let's go one-on-one. Can Samaje Perine get that tough yard? Can Spencer Long knock his guy forward? Can Sean LaValle do it? Can my pulling guard? Can my third blocking tight? That's great evaluation. The same way throwing a dumb fade to Ryan Grant's great evaluation. Now we know he simply can't do it and should never be on the field. These things are fine in the preseason. It's when it spills over into the regular year, when everybody knows it's coming, and they go, let's try the fourth down slow-developing run play that gets blown up in the backfield as Fox goes to commercial.
Well, I'm also a huge proponent, and I think this team, particularly in 2015, to a lesser extent last year, had great success doing this. I am a massive fan of throwing out of the gun with nobody in the backfield spread on 3rd and short. I think that's when Kirk Cousins, from a passing standpoint, is at his best. When he's got 4 or 5 receivers split out all over the place.
And it's all about that pre-snap.
Pre-snap, locating who's got the matchup. It's one-on-one. So basically, it's a quick, concise decision right at the snap where you're waiting for someone, like a point guard taking someone off the dribble with footwork, to win at the line of scrimmage, and then you throw it. And with Crowder and with Reed and with Pryor and with Doxson, I'm not going to say Ryan Grant's name, but Jay Gruden clearly would. With Chris Thompson split out on the linebacker, someone's going to win. And I'll take my chances in space doing that on 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, over running the ball with this offense almost every single time. Jay's in D.C. What's up, Jay?
Jay.
Hey, for the record, I never click on anything Dallas. Also, I love the death match for the fantasy tournament.
Ooh,
the death match for all callers. That'd be really cool. And also, I think it's the play calling. I think we have all the pieces. The players. Then we got the coaches. I just think it seems like two different people are calling the passing plays and the running plays. It's just sometimes it's just really too obvious that we're going to run, and it's hard to stop someone if the defense knows that we're going to run.
I'm going to put Jay on hold.
Thanks,
grab
Jay.
His number, Dark, because whatever we do with callers, he's going to be involved.
He's got to be in
to figure out if someone's going to be added to our fantasy league. They don't necessarily have two different people calling plays, but that's actually a pretty intuitive observation because they've got two different people coordinating offense, basically. They've got like a run game guy in Callahan, and then Sean and now Jay do the passing game.
Because when did they have that? Remember, it was like it was going to be Shanahan's rush offense with a different passing game year one or something. You know what I'm talking about? Didn't they have something that way?
No, not with those guys. They
who were the two? There was a hybrid where there were two different offenses.
They did it with Sherm back in the day where it was like someone would call running plays, someone would call passing plays.
I'm talking about bingo caller. I'm trying to think. I'm botching this terribly, and I apologize. But like, it was schematically. It was like, hey, this guy's passing offense, but we're using the old zone blocking running scheme.
Redskins
was it year one of Jay?
Done that in a long time.
Maybe.
Let's go to Kyle in Fairfax. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, guys. I just want to quickly say to the last two callers about, especially the one who's saying, oh, you know, you can't be predictable on 4th and 1. Just remember the Eagles game last year, 4th and 2, just like you said, Grant, they went 4 wide because Jay Gruden would never do that in a regular season game if Rob Kelly goes 9 carries for 9 yards.
Yeah.
But I think everyone is quick to blame Jay Gruden because look at his days in Cincinnati. He drafted Gio Bernard, who's not a running back who's going to get you power yards. And they also had A.J. Green, so the offense was completely different when you have a top 5 wide receiver. But Bill Callahan kept his role. He didn't get promoted to offensive coordinator to call plays. His exclusive job is to coach the offensive line. But that just tells you it's a talent problem, specifically up the middle. Jay Gruden gets a pass from me because you took this coach from the Dallas Cowboys and paid him X amount, like a lot more money specifically to fix the running game. It's a matter of talent if he can't do it.
Yeah, their talent on offense is at tight end, wide receiver, quarterback. It's not on the interior of the offensive line. They have talent at tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, other than a right guard, they got two spots there that are question marks, and it's not at running back. So it's probably not that big of a coincidence that we're having this conversation. Kevin Payne, fantasy football expert from RotoWire, is going to join us next. We will ask him, as we get ready for our fantasy drafts, what the top of fantasy round one boards should look like. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Danny Ruggiero here for my guys at Ted Bridford. Now's the time. Now is the time. Don't wait on this. Don't put it off. Get it done, because there's a great opportunity to get yourself a brand spanking new ride from Ted Bridford. I liked it so much, I did it two times. We got the 2016 Ford Edge. Oh, it is luxurious. I love strolling about the District of Columbia in my neighborhood. I love that Ford Edge. Couldn't be more comfortable, right? The leather seats, the backup camera. Michael Bay would be proud to shoot a movie on that bad Jackson. It's gorgeous. It's awesome. The little Sync 3 system where you plug it. It's like having your iPhone on a great big display, almost as big as Dar's phone. I love that car. So I like the deal so much. I like the experience so much. You know what I did when it was time for the second family car? You know what we did? Right back to Ted Bird Ford, baby. Got myself that Ford Fusion. You can do it too. 0% financing. That's 0% financing for 72 months on a Fusion, an Escape, an Edge. Again, two of those four, and with the Explorer, are in the Ruggiero household right now, plus $1,000 trade assistance and 125% Kelley Blue Book value on your trade-in. Here's your bottom line. Get yourself to Ted Bird Ford to get a great deal. Have a great experience. And tell them Danny sent you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.